Bible. Speaking of God's Word, that's where we are today. We are in Daniel chapter 7. So we've made halfway through Daniel, and the first six chapters that we've already looked at have been the kind of the history, Daniel's history of over 70 years in captivity in Babylon. And he has seen multiple Babylonian kings, and then he is currently, when we get into chapter 7, he is under the rule of Darius the Mede. They came in 539 BC and conquered the, we saw that in chapter 5. And so as we're looking at Daniel, we've been talking about since chapter 1, God is sovereign. And as we shift into the second half where we're talking about prophecy, I want you to understand that God is not just sovereign in the past. God is sovereign forever. And as Daniel is going to, we're going to look at in Daniel, he is going to look at a dream. He's going to be sharing dreams and visions that he had in the next couple of chapters through the end of the book. When we look at them, we have the opportunity to look at part of them as history. And so he's giving it as all future to him, but we look back in the lens of history and we can go, wow, look how God prophesied through Daniel, and it all came true in a very specific way. And we'll see that today as these visions that Daniel has are just so vivid and so specific. Well, if he was true in the past, what does that tell us about the future? If God was sovereign in the past, what does that tell us about the future? You see, we have an election coming up next year, right? And everybody's like, oh man, I don't like anybody. God's sovereign. We have a war going on in Ukraine. God is sovereign. We have a war going on in Israel, and God is sovereign. Understand that. We don't have to fret. Now, it may not go the way we want it to go, and we may not see it that way, but God is looking down and saying, don't worry. Belshazzar thought he had it all. And then one night, the handwriting showed up on the wall, and God said, you've been weighed and found deficient. And that very night, God said, you're done. See, we can count on God to be sovereign in everything. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and when? Tomorrow. Amen. So let's turn to Daniel chapter 7. We're going to read the first 14 verses. In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and the visions of his mind as he lay on his bed. Then he wrote the dream down and related the following summary of it. Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night. Behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And the four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. And the first was like a lion and had wings of an eagle. And I kept looking until the wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the human mind was given to it. And behold, another beast, the second one, resembling a bear. And it was raised up on one side, and three ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And thus they said to it, arise, devour, and eat meat. And after this I kept looking, and behold, another one, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings as a bird, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I kept looking in the night visions. And behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrifying, extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth, and it devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And while I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up from among them, and 3 of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it, and behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth uttering great boasts. I kept looking until the thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat, and his vesture was like white snow, and his hair was like the head of like pure wool, and his throne was ablaze with flames, and wheels were burning fire, and a river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him, and thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. The court sat, and the books were opened. And then I looked because of the sound of the boastful words which the horns were speaking, and I kept looking until the beast was slain, and his body was destroyed and given to the burning fire. And as for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but an extension of life was granted to them for an appointed period of time. And I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples and nations and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. What a vision. What a vision. And actually, he tells us there are several visions. He's seeing multiple visions. And so as we look at Daniel chapter 7, I want to, first of all, share with you, he says, when was this vision? Back in the first year of Belshazzar. So we know when Belshazzar died, 539 B.C., and he was appointed by his father, Nabonidus. He was appointed sometime before that. So we know when this vision occurred, it occurred before the Babylonian kingdom had been defeated. And this is not Daniel's first vision. Remember, he had a vision. He gave the revelation of the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had back in chapter 2. And that one was much like the one that we're going to see today, just in a different format. It was a statue, and it had a bronze head, which he said was what? Babylon. That was all the way up to Belshazzar. Belshazzar's defeated, and then we saw the chest and arms of silver. And we talked about that being the Medo-Persian Empire. And then it had the belly of bronze, which will be the Greeks, the legs of iron, which will be Rome, and then the 10 toes, the feet of iron and clay that we talk about being the final kingdom that will come in the future and will be the kingdom of the Antichrist. And we talked about these. And as we look through these, there's a lot of imagery that takes place. And instead of me standing up here and telling you, well, this is what this means, I want to take part of this from the book of Revelation. Because Revelation is very much a clarifying piece of what Daniel has to say. As a matter of fact, you really can't understand Revelation without understanding Daniel. Because Daniel was writing this 600 and some odd years before John would write his. And John writes the Revelation, the book of Revelation, He is getting inspiration, getting information from the book of Daniel. And so as we jump into this book, first of all, remember, this chapter, he's writing this first dream before Darius and the Medes and the Persians come and capture Babylon. So let's look at this imagery that he gives her. The first thing we see is that he has a vision of the four winds that were stirring up the great sea. And I'm kind of like last night when the wind was blowing, I actually had to get up and like, what am I hearing? And I opened up the door and I said, oh, it's the four winds of heaven. Sure felt like that. The four winds of heaven. And yes, could that mean, oh yeah, we have wind blowing? No, it really has to do with God's judgment, the confusion. How many of you were here for the Columbus Day storm? Oh, we got a bunch of you. You will remember the confusion of the Columbus Day storm because unlike people who live in the South who get tornado warnings and all this kind of stuff, we weren't ready. And I can remember the confusion. I was very young at the time. And I remember we got out of school early and we got home and all of us kids were out playing out in the yard seeing how long we could lean into the wind until it knocked us over. And me being the littlest one, I usually was the first one on my keister. But there was a lot of confusion because we didn't know how to handle that. Well, my mom and dad both grew up in Oklahoma and Arkansas, so they're like, okay, we had a full basement, get in the basement. And we were joined by about 20 of our closest friends, right? Half of Waterloo. Because we were the only ones in Waterloo with a basement. So these four winds are actually, the four winds of heaven are mentioned in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 7, it says, after this, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. And what are they doing? Holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or any tree. Now, if I took you into Revelation chapter 7, you'd find that we're in a break in the action between sets of God's judgment on the earth. And so we have God's judgment coming down in chapter 6 and before, and we have God's judgment coming down in chapters 8 and beyond. And so the four angels are told, hold the judgment. I'm not sending any judgment. There's a lull in the action while God seals his 144,000 evangelists to go out and preach. So this four winds are talking about God's judgment. And I believe it's also talking about the confusion that causes. Because when we look at the book of Revelation and we see God sending down things like, oh, a third of the stars are wiped out. A third of the sun is wiped out. You think daylight savings time is bad. And God is judging the earth with all these different things. And can you imagine what it will be like to live during that time? It will be mass confusion. Well, the other thing he talks about is the Great Sea. Now, in that time, the Great Sea would have been known as the Mediterranean. It's right there. All of these countries we're going to talk about border the Mediterranean Sea. But Isaiah and Revelation both give us an insight into what the Great Sea is. In Isaiah chapter 57, it says, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up refuge and mud, and there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. So in Isaiah, he says, the sea, it's a stormy sea that he's talking about. And who is the sea? The wicked. we would call them the Gentile world, or the Jewish people would. In Revelation chapter 17, he's even more specific, and he says, "And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." So as we look at this, we see the confusion of the world. Every nation, every tongue, multitude, the peoples are the great sea. And as we look at what happens, these four creatures, what do? They come up out of mankind. They're going to come and they're going to cause confusion and judgment. And the very first one we see, we already know about because Daniel's been talking about it. It's the Babylonian Empire. And Daniel lived through that. The Babylonian Empire, it says that the lion with the wings that is going to represent that Babylonian Empire, just like we saw the gold head, right? And what did they do? They came through and they domineered all of the, basically, the known world around them at the time. Now, it's interesting that it calls us the lion with wings. And I want you to see a picture. This is a picture of a relief that is outside the, when they did the excavation of Babylon, they found these lined up outside the Iskar Gate. And there's multiple of these, and these are all in gold. And as they would go out the Ishtar Gate, now the Ishtar Gate is their female god of fertility. And so they were looking, as they look at this lion representing one of their major gods. And so this lion, what does he do? He goes and he captures the world as we know it. And we've seen this, Daniel chapter 5, when Belshazzar is defeated. Now, who's he defeated by? The Medes and the Persians. We remember the story from chapter 5. Belshazzar's having a great, great big party. 1,000 are invited. They're drinking from the, they're getting drunk and drinking from the articles that came from the temple. And the handwriting comes on the wall. And it says that very night, Belshazzar was killed. And who killed him? The Medes and the Persians. What did they do? They dammed up the Euphrates River. They came in through the tunnel that King Nebuchadnezzar had dug to bring water into the city. And they came in and captured it overnight. And so the bear represents the Media-Persian kingdom. Darius and Cyrus, the Persians and the Medes, they join together. And it says they're a bear that's up on one side. So we know that the Medes or the Persians were the domineering side of this. They had more of the army. They were the ones who did most of the, a lot of the fighting, I should say. But it also says that what? They have three ribs in its mouth. Now, this is kind of interesting. I want you to see a map of this area. So we look down here, and here's Babylon right here. Okay. Now, interestingly enough, this was not the first kingdom that the Medes and the Persians. You see the Persians over here? This is Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan's up in here. All right. That's all part of their territory. They first came up here, and they conquered a place called Lydia. We would know it as Asia Minor. There's a little place over here called Ephesus. Remember that? A guy by the name of Paul had a lot to do with Ephesus. That was the first kingdom that the Medes and the Persians together, they go up and they capture Lydia. Well, then they come, they've captured here, they come sweeping down, and they capture Babylonia in 539. And once they have Babylonia captured, they come up over here, and in 525, they capture Egypt. They conquer all of that land, all how many? Three nations, Lydia, Babylonia, and Egypt. The three ribs that are in the mouth of the bear. Well, the next one we see is who? We see the leopard with four heads. Now remember, we're looking back on history. Daniel's looking forward on the future. So we have this leopard. He's got wings on his back, which indicates speed, and this represents the Greeks. As the Greeks come in, they're led by a man by the name of what? Anybody remember? Alexander the Great. This young general comes in, and the Greeks come down, and he was known not for the size of his army, but how fast they moved. And so Alexander Great leads the Grecian army down, and they're just wiping people out left and right, left and right. And they just overrun them before they know what's going on. Now, Alexander the Great didn't live very long. Matter of fact, he died in his mid-30s. And when he died, he didn't have a successor. So you know what he did? He turned the kingdom that he had captured over to four generals. He had four generals. Cassander got Macedonia up to the north. Lymachus got Asia Minor, that area that we saw up there that was Lydia, where Ephesus was. Seleucus gets the Syria and what we would know as Israel. He gets that Middle East part, and Ptolemy gets Egypt. A leopard with four heads. How would we ever put that together? But Daniel sees this vision, and then we have the fourth beast. Now, the fourth beast, Daniel doesn't have a description for. The fourth beast is going to be the Roman Empire and beyond. Because if you'll remember the statue had the legs of iron. Now, this has what? Teeth of iron. The teeth of iron that is going to do the devastation. The Romans came in and they rolled over everybody. They just crushed entire countries. But if you remember back to the statue, right? The statue had legs of iron, but then what were the feet? Iron mixed with clay. And we know that the Roman Empire, what happens to the Roman Empire? Nobody came in and defeated it. It was destroyed from within by their own immorality. Defeats it from within. And so it begins to be dispersed. And we see here, it's interesting that today, you know, instead of having one group of governments, right? We have 195 countries in the world today as recognized by the United Nations. The clay intermixed with the metal has just been dispersed, but then we have in the statue, we have how many toes? How many toes do you have? 10 toes. But in this beast, it has what? 10 horns. 10 horns. Now, where have we ever heard the 10 horns before? Well, of course, Revelation. Revelation chapter 12, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great dragon, a great red dragon having 7 heads with what? 10 horns, and on the heads were 7 diadems. 10 horns of Revelation chapter 12. What period of time is this? The tribulation. Chapter 13. And then I saw a beast coming out of where? Out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. Isn't that interesting? Those are a little bit of attributes from what? All three of the kingdoms we've already seen. They're coming together in different ways. And the dragon gave him power and his throne and great authority. We're talking about none other than the Antichrist. And the Antichrist we see in Revelation chapter 17. So in Revelation 17, listen to what it says. We're going to read a few verses out of 17, beginning in verse 3. And he carried me away, this is John talking, in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having 7 heads and 10 horns. We've already seen this back in chapter 13. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having on her hand, in her hand a cup full of the abominations and the unclean things of her immorality. And on her head was written a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with blood of the saints and with the blood of witnesses of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered greatly. And the angel said to me, why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. And there is the mind which has wisdom, the 7 heads or the 7 mountains on which the woman sits. And these are the 7 kings. 5 have fallen, 1 is, and the other is yet to come. And when he comes, he must remain, what? A little while. And the beast which was and is not and is himself an 8th and is 1 of the 7, and he goes to destruction. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they received authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. And these have purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. Wow, that's a lot of addition in there, isn't it? We got 7 and 10 and 5 and 8 and 6 and 7. We look at all of this and we say, wow, what in the world's going on? Well, it's none other than what we would call or is the Antichrist. The Antichrist will come. When does he come? During the tribulation. He comes first as a peacemaker. And he brings people together. The consolidation, the 10 kings. We won't have 195 countries anymore. We're going to have 10. And of those, we're going to watch as God, or as the Antichrist overthrows some, and they all become his yes men, because the Antichrist has the power of Satan. And as we look at this last beast, as a matter of fact, when we get in next week, when we get into the interpretation, it's interesting that Daniel doesn't ask about the first three. He asks about the one, the fourth beast. Who is this beast that I don't have an image of? I can't put anything to this. He's too unusual. He says, I want to know about that fourth beast, and we'll talk more about that next week. But the way this first vision ends is much the way it did in chapter 2. Remember, we had the statue, but what's the end of the statue? Clay, the feet of clay and iron. But then it says what? There is a stone that is not carved by man's hand, and it rolls down and it crushes the statue. Well, how does Daniel's vision end? First, it ends with the Ancient of Days. Who's the Ancient of Days? God the Father, as he sits on the throne. Because look what it says, verse 9. I kept looking until the thrones were set up and the Ancient of Days took his seat. Don't you want to see that? God the Father sitting on the throne and just his vesture is white as snow. The hair of his head is white as wool. His throne is ablaze with flames and his wheels were a burning fire that talks about, remember in Ezekiel where it talks about the wheels inside of the wheels that go around that go around the throne and they cry what? Holy, 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 for the Lord God Almighty is on his throne. Well, as we see this picture, that's what Daniel sees. He sees the Father sitting on the throne. To him it would be Yahweh, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sits on the throne and he sits down. This week I've been reading in my personal Bible reading. I've been in Numbers when it talks about they built the tabernacle. And when they built the tabernacle, it said the God came down as a fire and he sat on the mercy seat. And he occupied the mercy seat inside of the tabernacle. And there were times when the Israelites murmured and complained, I don't like this, I don't like that. And there were times when God sent down fire, when God sent down his judgment. And he says, but you can't look on me. You can't even look at my face or you would be burned up. That's the picture we see here of the Father. And notice as it says myriads upon myriads were standing before him. And then what does he do? He opens up the book. The book. Well, Revelation chapter 20 tells us why he opens up two books. The first one is the book of life. And he says, anybody whose name is not written down in the book of life, you're going to be judged. And he opens up a second book, the book of the deeds, what you've done here on this earth. And those who did not know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior will be judged by their deeds, and then they will be cast where? Into the abyss. Forever and ever. But he doesn't stop there. Daniel continues to look. Hallelujah. I am so glad he didn't stop in verse 9 with the judgment of the Father on us. He goes on in verse 13 says, I kept looking at the night visions and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and he presented himself before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all the peoples and nations and men of every language might serve him. And his dominion is in the everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. I am so glad that Daniel didn't stop with just the Ancient of Days, but he saw the Son of Man high and lifted up. You see, he was presented before the Father. As what? What do you and I need? We have to have a sacrifice. The only thing that will save us from our sins is a blood sacrifice. And as the Son of God hang on the tree, he cried what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Was he talking just to the Romans? No, I believe he was talking to each one of us. And as he hung on the tree, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because he was holding on him the sin of all the world. And as he hung on that tree, he was presented before the Father. He says, under your hands I present my spirit. And then what did he finally say? It is finished. The price you and I owe, paid in full on the cross. He was presented before the Father. And then on Sunday when he was resurrected, he says, I need to go to my Father. He says, I have to go to my Father. Because if I don't go to my Father, I can't prepare a place for you, can I? And he's been there for 2,000 years, building your place and mine in heaven. Hallelujah. That's the way his vision ends. And his dominion will be everlasting, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Revelation tells us that one day God will make a new heaven and a new earth, and Jesus will sit on the throne next to his Father. And we will rule and reign with him forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Boy, what a segue into communion. I am so thankful that Daniel didn't stop with the Ancient of Days, but he continued on to the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world. I wonder if as Jesus was giving the Passover to his disciples at the Last Supper, I wonder if he had that in his mind. Father, I want to present myself as a living sacrifice for all mankind. And though he spoke to the 12, what he says is literally a prayer. This is my body which is broken. Take and eat in remembrance of me. I'm presenting my body to be put on the sacrificial altar for you. And then he took the cup and he said, this is my blood which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Drink this in remembrance of me. For without blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. What an amazing, amazing thing when it says that the Son of Man was presented to the Ancient of Days.